Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Good morning, and welcome to Spiritual Engineering, the New Science for Happiness and Extraordinary Relationships with Tom and Patricia Strausser.
Good morning. Yes, it looks like it's going to be another beautiful day here in Colorado again. An unbelievable January. It definitely hasn't been like January, but we'll take it.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful January, very mild temperatures, very dry, a little bit of snow here and there, but we are enjoying it. And just bracing for February and March. We're going to be slammed with snow. And thank you to Cosmic Citizen for allowing us to come alive every Wednesday morning to share these tools that are working in the life, in our lives and the lives of many. And today we have an interesting topic. We're going to talk about grief and some of the tools that spiritual engineering provides to help us to deal with those situations that are inevitable in life. And I'm going to start with you, honey, because I know that you have, fortunately, but you had experienced a great deal of grief in your life. And you can kind of share with us all those experiences and how you've been able to, obviously, you didn't have all these tools when these griefs or these losses is starting to happen in your life, but how this experience help you to shape up all these tools that we can actually are proven in life and we know their work?
Yes, and it is. Grief is something. And let's just back up a step and look at, you know, we have a saying here, and I think it's really true, that life gives us pain, but misery is optional. And grief is one of the pains that we get through in life. Grief is one of the things that it's inevitable. We lose people we love, and there's two types of grief, and as you said, I've been through both of them, and I've learned, I might get through something now. I've tried to look at it and say, what, learn something from it. And one of the biggest things now, it's different than before, I try to learn, is number one, if there's anything I can do to avoid it, is it pain or is it misery? Can I avoid it? And I can avoid misery, but I can't always avoid the pain. But the second thing is how I can get through this process and maybe use that process, even the pain, to help me grow. You know, you talk about a lot when you're talking about decisions, about does it help my soul grow? I'm making this decision. Well, it's the same thing when we're going through something like this. We can be hurting, but we can also realize, even at the time, that we can have a growth coming out of this. We can get nearer to God. We can learn to allow God and our inner spiritual power to guide our lives even more. So that there are some positive things that can come out of this, even though it doesn't seem like when we're going through it. I know that, like you said, that when I started, you know, I came from a big family. I had, so I lost some of my older brothers and sisters as I was growing up in life. You know, I was pretty young. And I had no tools to handle it, and I had no idea what to do with it. I went to, saw people die. I saw, you know, neighbors and friends and like I said, relatives die. And I had no real concept of, you know, death, what death was or what, you know, what the loss was. And then I had, if I did feel a loss, I had no way to handle it. I didn't know what to deal with it. I just ignored it. And then even as I moved on in life and as I got older, at different times I've lost people. And I had to basically really, I mean, I was a person who shut myself off. I would isolate. I would not want to face the pain that I was going through. So I would just try to block it out and go do something else. And that was not very effective. And then as I moved on in life and started getting a spiritual basis for life, got into the Urantia book, started reading the Urantia book, got into recovery, did a number of different things. And then I lost our 19-year-old daughter in a car accident very suddenly. And that was one that one of the first ones that I really felt, that really hit me. And I had a hard time dealing with that, but at the same time, I had a spiritual life. And I already developed the concept and really believed that the idea that God doesn't take people, he receives them. And that was a big thing. I didn't have to blame God for what happened. It was a car accident. I could look at it, and I didn't have to say, well, God caused this, or God, why did God take this child? I didn't have those kind of questions. And that was one of the best things, is really having God to turn to as a source of comfort and power when these happen, and not blame or even have any question that God, this supreme being, caused something like this. So that was one of the things I think that we need to talk about and share with people. You know, the concept that the Urantia book brought me to in terms of life after death. There is life after death. I think we'll be able to complete some of these relationships. If we've done some things wrong, if we've had some things that we would like to do over, we will have a chance to take care of all these things, anything that's of spiritual importance to us or of spiritual importance to that other person. So I began to look at death not as an end, but just as a transition, that it's a comma, not a period in a sentence. It's not an end. And we will have, absolutely have the opportunity to, you know, make amends, to do what we need to do to complete these relationships. I think that God gives us one objective here, is to learn to love people. And when we start to love, when we start to develop this love, God is not going to let death interfere with that. We're going to have a chance to go on and do that. And that was one of the tools. And then the other thing is that as working through this, and then I lost, in that same time period, over the next few years, I lost my mother, mm-hmm. and who was very, you know, instrumental in my life. You know, I was she reared me by herself. You know, I had no father at that time. I had a father, but he had committed suicide early in my life. So I was very close to my mother, and so that was a big hole in me. And again, my first reaction was to go back the other way and try to ignore it. And I couldn't do that. But then I had to use these tools. And the ideas that the Urantia book gave me of what happens to us after death were, and the idea of a loving God that does not take people, was just so much more comforting than anything else I had.
So what you're saying is a couple of concepts help you to not only to accept the death of your loved ones, but also to take a different look at death. One was the concept of afterlife, what happened after we die. And the second one is the concept of a loving God, which doesn't take people. He provides the comfort, the love, the solution, and the hope when we are suffering. And, you know, many people really have a conflict with this concept of the afterlife. And we would like, just for few minutes, to expand on that concept. Because something that I really believe, as you say before, honey, is that we're starting here and we're starting developing ourselves. And my question was, what happened with all this love that I experienced? Mm-hmm. What happened with my kindness? What happened with my hope? What happened with all those traits that I developing as a person? They cannot die.
No.
It is impossible. It is a type of energy that I am building in my soul. And what happened with that energy after I die? So the concept that there's an afterlife and we will continue living, maybe in another state of consciousness, maybe with another body, we really don't know. But we will continue developing the values that we have, that we are actually building in our souls. It is a very comforting thought for me.
It is, and the fact, as I said, that nothing of spiritual value or spiritual import will be lost, and we will remember people. Relationships are just so important, and that's what it says. Relationships are anything that are actually an end in themselves are very important, and so, but how? And then, as you know, Patty, I lost my second wife, Barbara, to cancer. And I had to take care of her and basically nurse her and be with her right up until the very moment she died. And in seeing her pass, again, I was very sure the comfort of a loving God, the comfort that God doesn't take people, He receives them. Help me understand this. I did not have to blame God. I did not have to criticize. I could go to God for comfort. And then, but then down to the tools. And what we're looking at today is this grief that we experience due to death of a loved one. And I should have mentioned at the beginning, as I went through things, there are two different types of this main grief, this inevitable grief. There's a grief that we have when we are isolated, when we lose someone, when someone does not, you know, when someone goes through a divorce or a separation. We have that type of grief. I call that a living loss. We lose someone, but they're still living. And then this is a loss due to death, which we're talking about today. There's two types there. And some of the tools are similar, but we're going to talk about this first one today and then the second one next week. The loss due to death. What tools do I have? And that's where we have physical, mental, and spiritual resources. We actually have all three types of power, three types of resources that we can bring to bear. So when we're faced with something, we can really use all three types instead of just one. Instead of just using our willpower and our mind, we actually have three different types of resources that we bring to bear to help us understand and move through this.
And what are those three types of resources?
The physical. Let's look at the physical. One of the things that we can do with the physical resources is learn to how to use our environment, our body, everything that's physical around us, to help us move toward a resolution, to help us so it doesn't keep us stuck in the middle of this. One of the things that I have seen is that people, when they go through a death of a loved one, they can succumb to this misery. They can get so wrapped up into, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, why didn't I do this, and get so wrapped up in the loss and what they should have done or what could have happened, that they can't move forward. They get stuck. It's like being stuck in the mud. They just can't move forward. Some of this is natural, but we have to be very careful and not to succumb to that for too long. I've also known people who would, once they lost somebody they love, would carry this loss so deeply and be so hurt for years that they let it affect other relationships with their children. And we have to really look at ourselves when we lose somebody and say, how would this person, if the tables were turned, if it was reversed, and I was the one who had passed, how would this person want me to deal with this? Would they want me to be so miserable? Would they want me to be so sad that it affected my relationships with my children, that it affected my relationships with everyone? And you know that if you love somebody, you don't want that kind of thing for them. So we have to put this in a little bit of perspective. Okay, somebody has passed away. It hurts. There's a big hole in us. What do we do? And then back to those physical things. We can write a gratitude list. That's one of the things that we can really do. Write the things that we're grateful for. When our mind gets bogged down in the misery, gets bogged down and focuses on the loss, it's very difficult to shift that. And I'm not saying that we can ignore this or we can miss the grief. We have to grieve. We have to mourn. We have to cry. We have to hurt. That is part of the healing process. But what we have to do is not get stuck in that, not get mired down in that. And that's what I'm talking about. I want to be real clear that I'm not talking about skipping these feelings or missing these feelings, but how, when the time is right, how we move on past those. So the physical part, the gratitude list, write down the things for which we're grateful. When you start to be overcome by grief and you have those times that you are really down, get up and take a walk. Change your surroundings. Change the physical environment. Do something different. Find a good CD, an uplifting CD or book, and read that. Take physical action to do things. Be very careful and take good take care of yourself physically. At these times when we're in the deep mourning, it's very easy either not to eat, not to sleep, or to do too much of it. We go from one extreme to the other. But learn to keep that balance. Keep a good diet. Try to eat. And sometimes you won't even feel like eating. But try to eat. Try to maintain that. Try to get your rest. So we have to take care of ourselves physically.
How do we take care of ourselves mentally?
Mentally is the key, because our mind is the key to a lot of this. Whether we move through the grief process or whether we become stuck in it. And again, we know that our mind is meant to be spirit-directed. Our inner spiritual power is what is meant to direct our thinking. And so we really, and it's a combination of the mind and the spirit at this point, but the mind, we read different things. We try to keep our mind to latch on and realize, and people who have experienced this and some who haven't, one thing that happens is that when we first lose somebody like this, our mind, it's very hard to concentrate. It's very hard, even if we have a good mental discipline, it's very difficult to bring our mind and let it focus, because our mind is always going back to the loss, to what happened. And then when our mind goes there, our emotions follow. So our mind is one of the things, the part of us that we have to learn to focus, to help it move forward. And one of the things that I've learned is that when my mind at a certain time in grief and in mourning, that we have serving other people, going out and doing something. We may not feel like it. Instead of sitting and watching television, get up and go do something. Do something for someone else. Volunteer at a hospital. Go to a soup kitchen. Go do something for someone else. And that is one of the best ways. It's a physical and a mental effect of doing this. We're out of the house. We're changing our environment. We're doing something. But mentally, when we serve other people, there's something that happens. And you know that.
It's like they say, change your actions and your mind will follow. Instead of waiting for our mind to change, and we feel like it, and then we can go and do an action, because maybe we don't feel like doing anything. So we need to kind of force ourselves to change the action, and as a result, our mind will change.
Right, and that, again, back to these are physical actions, but they work on our mind, and they work on our spirit. And another one, and I've suggested, and I did, and I found, get a pet, get a dog. If you thought about it, if you don't have a dog, one of the best things I had and that I really realized the value of is having a small dog with me, and I paid attention to those things. The dog would somehow, I would have to take the dog for a walk. I'd do things. And even if you don't have one, a puppy or something takes your mind off of that. It's awfully difficult to sit there and have a loving puppy or something that you have to take care of, and it helps shift our mind. It helps shift our thinking. So these, again, are physical things that help us change our mind and mental things. We have to be on the lookout for the mind and our mind to help us know that we're not succumbing to fear, to blame, to resentment, to anger, all these things. Now, again, all these feelings are normal when we first experience the grief, but we move through them, we transcend them. And so we have to be very aware that we are moving through these, that we are making this journey through these, and then use this physical, mental, and spiritual resources. Now, you know the spiritual resources, the maintenance steps. We have, and that's where we really have to put a lot of time. The results we get from the spiritual path are pretty much directly related to the time and effort we put into it.
Can you summarize, because this seems to be, you have given us a very extensive explanation of how to deal with grief in the three different arenas, in the physical, mental, and spiritual. And since you have gone through these emotions and through these experiences, can you tell us specifically what actions did you take in each one of those arenas to help you move through this grief?
Well, as I said, the physical part, we write a gratitude list.
Do you write a gratitude list?
Yes.
How can you be grateful of something when you have lost a loved one?
I had to realize that if I can see I have something to be grateful for. At that point in my life, you knew that, you know, I'd lost my eyesight at one point. That I could not see, and they did not think I would ever see. So I had to realize that even though I lost someone, if I got up that morning and could see, just see, I had something to be grateful for.
Okay, and that's one reason to be grateful for. What else can a person be grateful for when they are dwelling with this incredible pain for losing a loved one?
If I can walk, I have so many things that I just take for granted.
But many people wanted to die with a loved one dies too, so they don't want to live.
That's right, and we have to realize, as I said, when I realize it, that this death is a transition, it's a temporary thing, that relationship will be rejoined. I really believe that we will have a chance to make the things right. One of the things you ask about a physical thing, a lot of people, and I went through, oh, I wish I'd have done this. Oh, I wish I could tell this person this. I wish I could tell them how sorry I am for this. And one of the things that I've learned that I've used and I've helped other people that's really helped them is to write a letter. Write a letter describing what you want to say, and then give that letter to God, and ask God to let that person who has passed away know whatever is important about that letter. Leave it up to God, but write the letter and take the action of writing the letter and writing all your feelings, and if you had something that you wanted to say, say it in that letter. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them what you wish you'd have done and all these things. And then give that letter to God. And then burn that letter or destroy it. Let God take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And know that you have done as much as you can do. And that relationship has not ended. It's a comma, not a period in a relationship. And then you can move on with that. You don't have to carry that burden. Oh, I wish I'd have done that. Do this action. Take this action of writing the letter, giving that letter in prayer to God, and then destroying that letter.
Some people experience insomnia. They lose the sleep when a loved one dies. What can we do in that when this happens?
Very good, because that is part of it. And again, this is all in our mind. How do we shift our mind? And whether it's in grief or at other times, when we go to bed and hit that bed, it's when we notice things. That's
right.
When we notice the little aches and pains of the physical body that we were able to ignore during the day. And that's when we notice the thoughts. The thoughts come into our mind, and those thoughts will keep us from sleeping. Again, we use our spiritual power to shift our mind.
Can we get out of the bed if we have a bad night?
Get up in the bed, go to a recliner, go to the couch, change the surroundings again. One of the biggest things is get something spiritual. Use your spiritual power to calm and shift your thinking, to calm that mind, to calm the anxiety, to calm the hurt. Pray, pray, pray over and over and over for God, your inner spiritual spark, your divine spark, to help you shift the way you're thinking, to Jesus, to whatever you want to pray to. But pray, pray, pray. And also, again, use your mind to read something, pick up something spiritual. And sometimes I've had times, and other people have when we're in the middle of this, that we can't even read. We can't even focus on a paragraph. So that's why I find CDs, something to listen to instead of reading. Because when I'm listening to something that's spiritually uplifting, my mind will latch onto a sentence or something there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. It seems to be easier for me to listen than to read at times like that. So put on a set of earphones, get a CD player, get something, and listen to something. But all this is focused to getting our mind to shift to being spiritually led and find a way for our mind to quit thinking the thoughts that are just hurting us.
That's so incredible, because really perhaps by listening to this CD, that's the way that God is communicating with us. He's giving us the tools, because God talks like that. It speaks to us. And also something that I read, that you will think about all the good memories that you have with this person. What can you say about that?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I've learned, and as I went through this, I can look at two sides of a relationship as this happens when I lose someone. I can look at what I should have done and what I missed, or I can look at what I had,
mm-hmm.
what I was given. And again, in a way, it's like the glass is half full, half empty type of thing. I can look and say, oh, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have said this. I should have done this. I should not have done this. I can get through all that, and it just tears me up, and it's just totally wasted. And it, again, think of what would happen if the tables were reversed. If you were the person who passed on, and the other person was still here, what would you want for them? How would you want them to go through this experience? You would not want them to be so miserable and hurt and crying that they destroyed or really negatively affected all their other relationships mm-hmm. in life. You would want them to grieve, to mourn, and then move on with their life. So we have to learn to do that. And you're asking about these thoughts. Yes, we can have the memories. We can remember all the wonderful things that happened and use that and take those and be positive. But we don't have to go into the memories of, I should have done this, I should have done that, or I wish I had done this, or, you know, all those negative things. We stay away from those memories, and we use our spiritual power, our spiritual energy to help us minimize those memories. Because God, this inner divine spark, we call it the thought adjuster, will really help us at these times. It will help us shift our thinking to a higher level. It will help us experience the pain and the hurt and the loss, but not get into the misery of the anger, the resentments, the recriminations, the blame, and things like that. That is where the spiritual power really helps us do this. And so, but to use that spiritual power, there again, we use physical, mental, and spiritual tools to do it. We pray. We read spiritual things. We talk to other people. And that's one of the things I haven't mentioned. Believe me, it's okay to cry, and cry when you lose someone. And it's hard for some men, it was for me, to even learn to cry. But tears really help. I said after I went through this and have hurt and different experiences that tears are the lubricant of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are. Sometimes in that grief, in that mourning when we lose someone, crying is an outlet. Crying helps us release part of this. It's a very healing
mm-hmm.
process. And so don't be afraid to cry. Whether it's a man or a woman, don't be afraid to cry. Don't worry about what other people say about how you're going through this. This is a very personal, grief is a very personal thing. What's right for one person may not be right for another. So don't let other people dictate, you know, don't take your feelings from them. But at the same time, it's very important to share this. When we share this, grief is like a piece of pie. If you share it, part of it's gone. Okay? When we share this grief, when we share our mourning, a little piece of it starts to disappear. So we learn to, with good friends, with understanding friends,
people
with
who
a pastor,
care about you.
With pastor, people
right.
who are leading a spiritual life,
mm-hmm.
we share this with them. So share your grief. Don't be afraid to cry. Use the tools. Be aware that when we lose someone we love, we are going to hurt. That is one of the pains of life that they're just absolutely inevitable. When we love people and lose them, we will hurt. So we learn how to hurt, to take that pain, and then use all the resources we have to move through that pain and move on with our life. We will never get over completely that hole of losing someone. There will always be a space in us for that person, for that personality. So just be aware that we have to move on with these things, that we have to be able to move with life.
Those are so important to share with us today. And next week we will continue this conversation, how we can show our children how we grieve. It's very difficult for other people, especially for our loved ones that are still with us, and especially for our children to understand what happened with that. So thank you all for being here with us, and we will continue this insightful conversation next weekend. Thank you for visiting, friends. And please don't forget to visit our website, www.spiritual-engineering.com.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.